If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
Oh, right in his hands.
In 15 minutes.
You play to win the game.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, it was wild and woolly over there at the NFL on week number 2. And what are we going to start off with?
Well, I mean, a lot of great games. Unfortunately, a ton of injuries. But let's get to one, Fred. I know that you did not enjoy watching. The Jets, they give us another laugher. That started right there on the very first snap.
They start in the true eye with Kyle Juszczyk ahead of Raheem Mostert.
Oh,
Kendrick
man.
Bourne
Goodbye.
Goes in motion, and he gets the right edge and gets down the sideline, and he's gone. Raheem Mostert is gone down the sideline. First play of the game is a toss sweep and a touchdown, San Francisco.
That feels great, baby.
Okay, the play-by-play guy not even warmed up yet, you could tell. Not expecting there to be a first snap touchdown, no. But you got it right there. 80 yards on the very first play of the game. And Fred, it just got worse from there for the Jets, who lose this one to the Niners, 31-13. The Jets' defense so bad that at one point the Niners did this on 3rd and 31.
Third down and 31. Now they'll go into an eye. Jed McKinnon, the tail of the eye behind Juszczyk. They run the toss play. Good block by Juszczyk. Cut back inside by McKinnon. Breaks a tackle. 20, 30, 40. He's got the first down into Jet territory. Finally dropped on the Jet 34-yard line.
Boy, what a great block by Kyle Juszczyk. And who would ever thought it on 3rd and forever?
Yeah, they're terrible. The Jets, I didn't watch them when they were 1-15. I was a freshman in college and was finally being able to have sex with my girlfriend wherever I wanted to, whenever I wanted to. So
the Rich Kotite years.
Yes. The Rich Kotite year. And so that year, that was the year they drafted Keyshawn, and I thought that they were going to make the playoffs because they had a receiver. And so I did not watch them because I was busy fornicating and enjoying it as an 18-year-old. And this is, the Jets are just garbage, just rotten fecal matter trash with flies crawling all over it, but they're getting eaten by the maggots that infest it. They're awful defensively, which they weren't last year, but they've managed to get completely awful. I don't even know who their corners are. A corner goes down and they put another corner in and he goes down. And I don't know who the hell's on the team.
And you had your top wide receiver get hurt yesterday.
Yeah, but their top wide receiver, who's, by the way, Perriman, who has had in his career 4 good games. And that was for, what was he on Tampa Bay? That was for a team where he was like an afterthought. And when everyone else was covered, they went to him. Sam Darnold, he sucks. So I don't know if it's Sam Darnold's fault, if it's the team's fault, if it's everyone's fault. But Darnold sucks. So they absolutely are atrocious. They kick a field goal where they're down by 3 touchdowns, and they end up settling for a field goal. I think they might have been down by, yeah, they were down by 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I think it was 24-3, and they ended up kicking a field goal in the third quarter. They're awful.
Okay,
this is the worst. This is the, they are like the Lions when they didn't win a game. And by the way, there's a mock draft on CBS that has Trevor Lawrence going 5th.
That's never going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen. But what's going to happen is the Jets are going to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're going to trade Sam Darnold for an 8th-round pick. I know there's only 7 rounds in the draft, but it's essentially an 8th-round pick. Sam Darnold's going to end up getting into a system where he's very successful, more successful than Tannehill is right now, and the Jets are going to ruin Trevor Lawrence. So have fun. The Jets are not winning a football game this year.
Okay. Well, there's no one they could beat. I'm looking at the schedule right here. They have Denver in a couple of weeks. Denver doesn't have
Von Miller. Where are they playing?
They're playing Denver at home.
They can't win.
Okay. They have Miami back-to-back games.
They can't beat Miami.
Around
that's
a bye week.
That's a joke.
They and can't then Cleveland, second to last week of the season.
Maybe Cleveland second to last week of the season. maybe that's the game they can eke out.
I think they win one of the Miami games because that's around a bye week. They're at Miami bye week and then home to Miami. And then the Cleveland game is certainly a win. 2-14.
See, well, I would say fire Gase and then make Williams the coach, but Williams can't coach that defense. So it's just a comedy of garbage. And I don't care if you have a high school football team out there. When they're on their own 15 or wherever the hell they were, and it's 3rd and 400, I don't know how you allow a toss sweep to go and pick up a first down. I don't care who's on the team.
Well, here's boy genius Adam Gase afterwards.
Are you angry? Are you embarrassed? What are you feeling right now?
Well, I'm pissed right now. I mean, that's no fun going out there and getting your beat. So, I mean, we need to get better fast.
Manish got his press pass back. That was Manish.
Oh, so it's just like a 1 week slap in the hand?
I guess so, because that was definitely Manish. And Manish coming out hot. So, congratulations, Patriots. That's two wins. But it doesn't do you any good, because Buffalo's going to kill them again. So, there you have it.
Well, one thing that sucks is that no team got hurt more than the Niners yesterday, and several key players went down. Nick Bosa likely tore his ACL.
Yep.
Solomon Thomas, Raheem Mostert, as you heard, and even Jimmy G with a high ankle sprain. That can be a 4 to 6 week injury, depending on the severity.
Yeah, they kept him in the whole first half. They should have known they were playing Sisters of the Poor and taking him out.
Well,
but he couldn't put any weight on his foot, and they just let him keep getting hit. By the way, he was, like, phenomenal on one leg against the Jets. And he could escape pressure, too, which was interesting.
Well, this kind of sucks is that based on that timetable, there is a decent chance that Jimmy Garoppolo won't be available when the Patriots host the Niners in 4 weeks. Well, that would kind of suck.
Well, that's good for the Patriots.
Catch a real break. And some of these players aren't going to be back in a month. I mean,
Bosa's gone.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, Nick Bosa not being there is killer.
It's huge, huge. And the Mostert deal, I mean, what's the deal with that? What has he got? Is a knee thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't really know how long that's going to be.
We'll find out today.
But after the game, Niners coach Kyle Shanahan was pissed because he believed that part of the reason that so many of his guys were getting injured was because of the, quote, trash turf that was at MetLife. Here is Shanahan.
I don't know exactly why it happened, but as far as the feeling that was on the sidelines, that's as many knee injuries and ankle stuff and people getting caught on a turf as I've ever been a part of. From what I saw, the other team did too. I know our players talked about it the entire game, just how sticky the turf was. And I think that was the first time people played on it, I think.
Well have fun sucks. Next week because you're on the same field. And if you,
that's probably why he's calling him out so much then.
If you're afraid of the sticky icky. Ooh, I ain't. Light that joint. That sticky icky. Well, good. So, whatever. You got to win. And you get another layup against the Giants next week. So, count your chickens.
Well, Fred, don't look now, but Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in America.
Takes a handoff.
Better than
Josh
Darnold.
Allen sets up deep. Takes a long look downfield, going deep again. He's got a man wide open, John Brown. He makes the catch. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
What a play! Take that!
Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah, he looked absolutely phenomenal.
As soon as goes through puberty, he'll be great.
Yeah, so by the way, have fun with Cam Newton taking advantage of Miami because they just let Josh Allen go crazy. So, but I'll tell you this, is that it just goes to tell you everyone's good except for Sam Darnold. And I almost hit the episode.
Well, Fred, listen, the legend of Josh Allen continues to grow. He had 417 passing yards, mm-hmm. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. The Bills obviously win that against the Dolphins.
Oh, by the way, they gave him Stephon Diggs, who he just throws to constantly and makes catches in traffic, is able to get open downfield, allows him to air his arm out.
A lot of mistakes, man. We said that was going to happen.
Yeah, so imagine giving a crap quarterback an actual weapon. in allowing him to actually have someone who can bail him out.
I saw a play yesterday, though, Fred.
Yeah,
I
thought of this. Well, don't get me started on Robbie Anderson. Yeah, now Robbie Anderson's a legitimate
looks
one.
Looks great. Carolina, yeah. Fantastic.
I thought, get rid of him. What do they know? But everyone who leaves that franchise is now all of a sudden the best thing ever.
One other thing. I mean, let's just take a step back and see who Josh Allen has played the first 2 weeks.
Of course. I mean, you have to kind of put that in perspective.
I don't care. He couldn't hit a barn. And now all of a sudden, Stephon Diggs is just catching everything. I've watched them the last 2 weeks. Josh Allen, he didn't even run the ball yesterday.
I don't know if you saw this, but I saw this play and I'm like, oh man, Fred would love this. During one of Josh Allen's runs, he gave Kyle Van Noy a stiff arm that knocked Kyle Van Noy right on his ass. Like, yeah. It was like, take that, boogeyman.
Yeah.
And just
how fun is it being in Miami now, Kyle Van Noy, that we all knew was going to end up sucking? We all knew that was a terrible signing.
It is amazing. You know, Van Noy and Jamie Collins were both really, really good. Van Noy more than Collins. And now Collins took all that money to go to Detroit. Nothing. And now Van Noy goes to Miami, and they've been awful the first 2 weeks.
Well, their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrible. I can't tell you what it's like watching the NFL. I cannot tell you what it's like to sit through those two diarrhea disasters every 1 o'clock game with the Lions and the Jets. And then and people were like crapping on Brady in week one, and he didn't play well, and he wasn't electric in the second half yesterday either. But at least Brady can throw. Do you know what it's like watching a guy who can't throw? Who can't throw? It's Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold. Two pieces of garbage. I mean, Garoppolo literally could not put weight on his front leg. And was, I believe, his front leg. It's hard to tell. And was and couldn't miss everything. Crisp. He's missing his best weapon. Crisp, everything. Jesus Christ, how did Adam Gase get that job? And I bought into it. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't understand. Adam Gase is a quarterback guru. You don't understand. He's an offensive genius. Sure, he can't run the locker room, but you should see what he does. I mean, it is, oh, my God. Have fun, Patriot fans. They might beat the Jets. You know what? They'll beat the Jets by 3 touchdowns because they'll do something like they'll only hand the ball to linemen. Like, they'll do something like where they want to set it. Or
experiment.
Or they'll say that to Sony Michel and they'll only win by 4. But I'll tell you this, is that they'll, like, try to set a record. They'll, like, have some weird record. Mm-hmm. Like, most yards rushed backwards. Or they'll try to recreate, like, a Bo Jackson run from Techno Bowl. And they'll just
have him run forward, yeah, backwards,
Damian
around.
Damian Harris run around for a while and then score.
No, they'll put
make
Cam,
a figure eight.
They'll put Cam, like, they'll have him, like, lined up like a punter. And he'll take the ball and he'll just run around in the backfield for half an hour. They'll let Edelman play quarterback for the second half. They'll do something. I can't tell you how, and it's just boring. They're so bad, it's boring. It's not even, like, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 3rd and 32. Sure, just hand it off. Good. Eat it up. All right, very good. When we come back, we'll take a break from the NFL and talk to Jay King from The Athletic. He's down there in the bubble. We'll talk to him. I believe he's down there in the bubble.
I don't think he's in the bubble.
Oh, well, good. Well, a lot of good he does us.
Well, he's covering the Celtics.
I'm just joking. He's not in the bubble. They got Washburn in the bubble. All right, we'll be right back.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Mass every Tuesday at 2 during Patriot season. Now back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Crowder challenged by Jaylen Brown, who jumps in the passing lane, has the steal. Jaylen Brown goes the distance and puts an exclamation point on what might very well be the game of his NBA life.
Man, has he stepped up, man, with money on the table.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, Jaylen Brown. Imagine giving him the ball. Jay King covers...
From the second that game started, like, I mean, everything that you had heard with the fights and how angry that they were, like, that's exactly what I wanted to see out of Jaylen Brown. It was perfect.
Well, they just forgot to give him the ball for an entire game. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, until the end of the game, and then they said, oh, yeah. Well, maybe now.
You've been on the floor all this time. Maybe you should help out.
Maybe we could start distributing it. Yeah.
Jay King covers the Celtics for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. King, hello, sir.
How are you guys?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm great.
There's two Athletic writers this morning.
You hear that? I know. It's too bad you had to talk to Jeff earlier.
Yeah, look for your numbers to skyrocket.
Does Jeff look like Duncan Robinson to you, Jay King?
He does not.
He absolutely does.
He absolutely does. Must be so nice.
They don't look anything alike. If you were to bang one of them, and you took money, it was based solely on looks. It would be Duncan. It would be Duncan a million times.
Oh yeah, he's much better looking than Jeff.
Yes. Jesus, I don't know why that's so. I don't. It must be nice. Oh, yeah, hey, this tall, like, super in-shape athlete. You look just like him.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Facial, just facial.
You're a schlubby athletic writer. Go screw. Look like that. It pisses me off. It really does piss me off when I see that on Twitter. I go, what the hell is going on? It just looks like Duncan Robinson.
I got to stick up for Jeff on this one. I kind of see it.
Oh, give me a break. I wish someone could kind of see that with me. All right. Jay King, all right, let's just start with this because I see it debated on the Twitter machine, and then I saw on another website that's not a direct competitor of yours, but that they were giving a lot of credit to Gordon Hayward being back on the team. What did that mean to the team?
I just think it gives the Celtics another playmaker. It gives them someone who can make quick decisions against his own defense. It limits amount of minutes that their bench has to play. He's taking minutes from, you know, Semi Ojeleye, so that's just a huge upgrade in talent level. I just think, and when they have all their players, and when they have the five guards that are so good, then they're just really, really tough for other teams to guard. And I think Miami does have weak links defensively in Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, and when the Celtics have their entire complement of players, it's really tough for the Heat to match up. And I think you've seen that when the Heat have gone man-to-man, but Gordon Hayward just makes it even tougher.
Let me ask you about the end of that game, because we were talking about this earlier, and I think that Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. And even during the Heat run, I never thought that he got the credit he deserved because he had such great players on his team. But at the end of the game, he had Jimmy Butler on the bench when Jimmy Butler is just Mr. Fourth Quarter. That guy is the last dude you want to be playing against. He's built for that. He gets to the line. Why do you think Eric Spoelstra, because Eric Spoelstra said he wanted to get some quick shots, but it just didn't seem, it almost seems like he was covering for something. Why do you think Jimmy Butler was on the bench?
I have no idea. That was so weird because Butler has owned a lot of the key moments in this series. He's been fantastic for the Heat. He hasn't always had like loud stat lines, but fourth quarter of game one, bam, he's there. Overtime of game one, he's there. Second half of game two, he takes over down the stretch. And so that was weird to me. I don't think the Heat really had much of a chance of coming back anyway, but that was bizarre. It makes you wonder, does he have an injury? Did something go wrong? What happened? Because that was really, really weird.
Hey, Jay, let's stay with Eric Spoelstra because I agree with Rich. I think he's a fantastic head coach. The Celtics tore his zone apart for large periods of time, and Gordon Hayward certainly helped with that. And yet Spoelstra didn't come out of it. He kept playing the zone regardless of how successful the Celtics were at scoring on it. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you look at the first half, and the Celtics really, really had a lot of success against Miami's man-to-man defense, too. So they kind of tried to pick on Duncan Robinson a little bit. Jaylen Brown was just so aggressive going to the rim. You look at the points in the paint numbers, Celtics had 60 points in the paint. And so they're playing that zone. They're trying to keep the Celtics uncomfortable or make them uncomfortable a little bit. I just think when the Celtics are locked in and when they're following the game plan and when they're that intent on getting to the rim, it's going to be really tough for Miami to guard. This Heat team, they're not like the Raptors. They're not an elite defensive team. They have holes to target. And when Boston is patient enough and when Boston is aggressive enough, I think the Celtics can really, really, really make things tough on that Heat defense. And the zone has limited the Celtics at times, but they found openings. And there are weaknesses in that zone, too. So if they keep executing like they did in Game 3, it's going to be tough for Miami to stop them.
Now, is the insertion of Gordon Hayward, I mean, is that something that you think changes this series, or was it just a case of, you know what, this team played really hard and it was nice to have another playmaker in there?
I think it certainly will change the series. Will it change it enough? I mean, that's the question. The Celtics still haven't proven that they can win crunch time against the Heat. Both the close games in this series, they lost. So, and they were both collapses, really. I mean, the 14-point lead in game one, the 17-point lead in game two, it was ugly. And down the stretch of game two, especially right before the whatever happened in the locker room, they really, really just seemed like they stopped playing. And the hustle wasn't there. They looked tired. So I want to see the Celtics in a close game. I want to see if the Heat out execute them. Then I think that's when we'll really learn whether the Celtics have enough to win this series.
Let's take that a little further. Watching the first three games of the series, it just seems to me if the Celtics play well, Miami really doesn't have a say in the outcome. If the Celtics, like you were saying, if the Celtics play well, they execute, they should win every game they play against this team. It just seems like Miami, while obviously very good to get to this point, isn't nearly as good a team as the Celtics are.
The funniest thing said in the press conference this series was when Jimmy Butler said, "Yeah, the Celtics, they have more talent than us."
It's true.
Like we're not going to win a talent game. But listen, this Heat team is so well coached, and Bam Adebayo is a force. Jimmy Butler is a crunch time force. They punish you. They punish every mistake because if you fall asleep for a second, Duncan Robinson is open. If you fall asleep again, Jimmy Butler is drawing free throws. They really, I mean, foul trouble for Daniel Tice has been a big issue for the Celtics, but that's the type of pressure they put on you. And so you have to be super sharp against this Heat team. And I do agree with Jimmy Butler, what he said, that the Celtics have a talent advantage in this series, but the Heat are so good at exposing whatever limitations you have, whatever, you know, shortcomings you have, whatever mistakes that you make. And that's what happened in games one and two, especially in the second halves of those games. And that's why the Celtics were so frustrated after game two.
Now, do you believe that LeBron James, when he does the chalk toss, is actually summoning demons?
I'm going to go with yes on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going to see this chalk ritual toss, what the sports world calls it a chalk toss, yes, but it's simply a disguise for what he's really doing.
What's
a high-level conjuring, a spell, an incantation from this Illuminati wizard where he's summoning demons.
That's right. That's Doris Burke, by the way, on the broadcast.
Hey, remember Garnett used to do that when he was here. That explains a lot.
Does? I learned it from Kevin Garnett.
More likely believe that Garnett was summoning demons. I don't think LeBron is a summoning demons guy.
Well, he's summoning the great authors of tween novels, I can tell you that, based on what we see him reading.
He does like reading the Twilight series, Fred. We have seen him do that.
He's conjured the image of Judy Blume. All right. Jay King, it's always fantastic to talk to you, sir, and it seems like everyone's pretty high on the Celtics right now. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. Fred, have you seen? Yes,
he is. Yes, have you seen the video I tweeted out? I tweeted so you could see it. It's the Josh Allen stiff arm of Kyle Van Noy.
Yes, I did.
Like
see
that's
that.
The kind where you can't look at your friends after that happens to you. You're just like I'm just gonna go home. You leave out the back door, so yeah. I don't have to answer to anybody.
Burn that boogeyman shirt you were wearing. It's amazing. Kyle Van Noy was not able to carry his success from the Patriots into another franchise. That's a very, very bad defense. And another coach that's probably going to get fired. We'll see when they let the kid take over. When they do, I don't know if they will or what the plan is, but eventually this season. And if that kid doesn't, Tua doesn't end up, if he turns into the next Sam Darnold, the AFC East again, half of it shifts like the wind.
And how are you feeling, by the way, Fred, about this Celtics series after that game?
I mean, things are different. I mean, they've been better the entire series. And, you know, if they don't fall apart in the third quarter, obviously, they're not going to lose.
If they don't lose, and Jay's right. I mean, you lose concentration for 1 second. Miami has guys that can make plays to hurt you. But if the Celtics.
But those guys are also such tremendous liabilities on the other end of the court that it seems like you could have your way with them offensively. So.
But the problem is that the Celtics, this was the first game that they weren't, I mean, this is the first game that they didn't lose the turnover battle. I mean, game two, they turned it over 20 times. And Kemba's been sloppy. Like, all these guys have been sloppy. I like what did they turn over, 11 times this past game? So they cut it in half. If they can continue to do that and just not turn the ball over, because Miami, as you said, will make you pay if you do something stupid like that, then maybe they, because you're right, you look down the lineup, they're just a better team.
Yeah.
They just shoot themselves in the foot too much.
If you play well, they should win every game they play against this team.
Tice not getting into foul trouble, that's huge.
Well, also, less time on the court for Tice because Hayward's back in.
Yeah.
So he's the main thing is that it tightens up that bench. And you got and the Semi-Ojeley thing is exactly right that Jay King said. You're not going to see hardly him at all because you've got a better guy out in the court and somebody that Miami has to respect who can shoot, who can get to the basket, who can accelerate. And when you have him on the court, it just makes things tougher to defend all around.
The other part of it is the Celtics found something there with their super small lineup where Tice was available, but they kept them off the floor. Miami's not necessarily a big team. And when you have Jaylen Brown playing center, Jason Tatum playing center with four guards, that seemed to work for different for short periods of time, and Miami didn't have an answer for that.
Yep. And Adebayo, maybe he'll learn how to make his little 5 foot out. Hook shots.
That little push jumper from the lane?
Yeah, which he was having not a whole lot of success with during huge chunks of that game. All right, when we come back, Rich, we'll continue around the NFL. Mm-hmm. We've already discussed. I wonder if the AFC East is honestly cursed. I'm starting to believe in football curses.
Bills look good, man. I like that team.
The Bills, McDermott's going to be in there for probably the next 5 years, and that's good. But the coaching carousel for the other two franchises that are not the Patriots in that division is, I mean, they're just terrible. Just terrible. All right, we'll be back.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Sports Hub. This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Around the NFL.
In 15
minutes.
You play to win the game.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Nick Jamelli, sorry if you're on Twitch. There is no more Twitch because Nick Jamelli has to leave. He blew out a tire, which had been seeping, audibly seeping air all weekend long. He drove that in and mysteriously on 93 that blew a tire. Then the woman who saved his life, who discovered him when he was covered in feces in the midst of a complete physical breakdown, she went out to the car to, facilitate the removal of the car from the freeway, and they put on the spare tire, and wouldn't you know, the spare tire was flat.
Well, she gave Nick her car so he could come to work.
Yes, and so now young, sickly there. Nicholas has to go back to the car and wait at the car and give her car back
because, so she can go to work.
Right, because who could figure out getting a tire changed when you only had 4 hours?
Did you not have that can of goo that everyone has in their car? The foam that you spray in when you have like a hole in it and corks it up that rarely ever works?
Well, and you can't on the Jamelli automobile ride on the rim. I mean, that would be completely out of line.
Wait, it was seeping air all weekend?
Yes. See, that's the first thing he told us.
Audibly seeping air all weekend.
It's the first thing he told us when he got in this morning.
Might be the last thing I would tell somebody.
Yeah. So that 1984 Ford Festiva has got to really, you can't be driving on the rim. So now he's got to go rescue his poor girlfriend. So if you are, or a fiance, so if you're Nick Jamelli's fiance's boss, give her a break. She has a very, very stupid boyfriend. All right. But at least he pays attention to the show. All right. Rich, what's going on? What games have we not gotten to?
Well, if I told you that this weekend there was a gigantic choke job from a team, you'd probably instantly say, well, what did the Falcons do this weekend? Well, that is true. Now, the Cowboys couldn't really get out of their own way. I mean, they did everything to try to lose this thing. They had a botched fake punt, committed 4 turnovers in less than a half to give the Falcons a 29-10 lead entering the half. But Dallas crept back. And the Falcons kept fighting. They blew the game open with a 39-24 lead in the fourth quarter, and everyone thought it was done. But the Cowboys kept coming and pulled off one of the most ridiculous onside kicks I've ever seen.
For the onside kick, Zuerlein dribbles it to the left, hadn't gone 10 yards. Big scramble for it as it has gone 10 yards. Cowboys think they got it.
I think they did.
I mean, that's not even possible anymore, is it?
Atlanta just let it roll and roll, and it went 10, and the Cowboys have the football. Horrible, horrible job by the Atlanta Falcons here.
Okay, I need, John, you to confirm this for me or look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Did a player after the game admit that they didn't know that they were allowed to touch the ball from the Falcons?
I didn't see that.
There was a question because they asked, I can't remember his name, the coach of the Falcons. Dan Quinn, right. And they said, does your team know the rules of onside kicks? That was a question that was addressed to him.
And I believe someone on the Falcons admitted that they didn't know the rules.
Yeah, they just sat around looking.
So the ball's rolling, and there was almost like no way. It didn't look like it was going to make the 10 yards, but everyone's watching it. And when it finally did, the camera's like, okay, and they jumped on top of it, and they got it. It was unreal.
Yeah.
And then a couple of big plays later, you knew what was coming.
No timeouts. Good snap. Good hold. 46 yards. Yes, sir. Kiss that pig. final score, Dallas 40, Atlanta 39.
Oh, boy.
So I saw the end of that game. Yeah. I saw a lot of that game, actually, because the two games I was interested in were absolute unmitigated disasters by two coaches that I would have more success with than if I was to coach their team. So mm-hmm. I was watching that. They, by the way, they really sold that onside kick because before the Cowboys kicked it, they're like, what can you even do anymore? Like, there's no way Cowboys are going to get the ball back here. But there was a catch on the sideline where they were breaking. Here's how ridiculous replays got in. They were breaking it down to see if the receiver got his elbow down first or his ass.
Yep.
And they were breaking down, like, the jiggle in his ass.
Yep.
Like, it's true. Like, to see if his ass jiggled, like, a frame.
Before the elbow came down.
Before the elbow came down.
Yes, I saw that.
And that was a topic of conversation. Yeah. And you're like, what? This is entertainment? This is what I'm watching?
I just think it's great. Because in the day and age where everyone's looking at, you know, Matt Patricia and Adam Gase, these guys are going to be the first two head coaches fired. Dan Quinn's like, everybody out of my way. I'm first. I'm going to get fired first.
I mean, that team has talent.
What were they analyzing there?
Always ass.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, check it out. Look at that jiggle. Mm-hmm. Hachi-machi.
Well, just a massive upset. The Falcons, this is great. So the Falcons had 39 points with zero turnovers and still lost. And yep. According to Elias, they love throwing these out there, but just this is phenomenal. I guess before yesterday, teams were 440-0 when scoring 39 points with zero turnovers since 1933 when turnovers were first tracked. And they're the first team to blow it. I mean, why is Dan Quinn still the coach? I mean, I don't understand.
39-point lead. You could run a prevent. Just keep everything in front of you.
They were up 24-0, right? They were up 24-0.
But just run, just run a prevent in just clock. Just all you have to do is run the clock. Run the ball up the middle three times. Just soak the clock. That's all you got to do. Give me a break.
Dak ended up being okay, too. Like, he ended up having, like, 450 pass yards, three rushing touchdowns, a passing one, no interceptions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's been good. But Dan, I want to hear this. Dan Quill, why are you still the coach?
Tough to put a loss like that in place. I told the team there has to be a lesson in the pain of that loss. And I'm sure we will work into that as we're getting into our preparation for next week. But definitely one that stings.
Find that clip. Mike, I wanted to see if you could find that clip. Because did somebody from the Falcons that they didn't know how to how to cover an onside kick?
Well, Dan Quinn had to sit there and get asked a question if his team knew the rules. That was a question that was posed to him in the postgame.
Oh, man. That was unbelievable. Well, the Kansas City Chiefs won. That's not really the story, though.
Butker's kick is up. He lines it up. The kick is long enough. It is good! Harrison Butker, money, penalty. Butker. Try to freeze him. He thaws the Chargers with a 23-20 walk-off 58-yard field goal.
I don't know if you should be getting too excited about almost losing to the Chargers, but the way it all went down was Butker.
Always ass.
A fan of the Butker right there. Well, I mean, this was as weird a start as you could imagine because Coach Anthony Lynn said he found out right at the coin toss that his starting quarterback was not going to be playing.
I found out right after the coin toss, to be honest with you. And so the young man, you know, he had to go in and play. It might have been good that he had to go in and play without thinking about it all night. But it was something that developed late and kind of caught us all off guard. But it is what it is.
So Tyrod Taylor, not there at the game. He had chest pains. I guess he's okay. But in his place, you get to finally see Justin Herbert, and he was really good.
Strength of the line is right. Takes the handoff, rolling to his right. Herbert, still on his feet. He's got the mobility. Touchdown, Chargers!
I mean,
Herbert, another young quarterback who can actually throw and navigate an NFL game. But when he had his helmet off, it's really depressing. Because he's just a zit-faced kid.
Yeah.
He's just like a zit-faced kid. Yeah, you're watching that game, and you never felt older.
He's 20, right? He's 20?
Whatever. He looks like he's a zit-faced kid. He's got acne all over the place. I mean, he looks like
a kid who's been cursed with acne that's 15 years old.
Well, get a nice proactive endorsement or something like that. He went 22 for 33, 311 yards, a touchdown on the ground and in the air, and an interception in his first professional game. And you know, obviously, this is a guy that's easy to rally behind. But after the game, Anthony Lynn said, not so fast on him being our starter.
Wait and see. I mean, I'm not going to answer that question right now. I want to wait and see what type of health Tyrod is in. He was our starter for a reason. If he's 100% ready to go, then, you know, he's our starter. But I know that Justin can pick up the slack if he can't.
He was, I mean, Herbert was really good.
Yeah, I mean, you got to roll with him. You're not winning anything with Tyrod Taylor anyway, so you might as well play the kid.
No. That's why the kid is there. The kid is your future. I mean, honest to God. I mean, you play Carolina next week. You're not facing, you have a home game against Carolina next week. Although, I guess with the Chargers, home games don't matter. But the point is, you're not playing a real tough opponent. Put the kid back in there.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it. Yeah, nope, you got to play
question.
The kid.
Well, Fred, I'm going to play a good news, bad news type thing. Let's go good news.
Matthew leans in. There's the snap back. Looks, throws end zone. It is. Did he catch it? Marvin Jones. Yes, sir. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Stafford to Jones. And it is 13-3 with 4 seconds to go in the first quarter.
That is the sound of the Detroit Lions taking a 14-3 lead. And then we go to this.
Snap, Rodgers, give Jones, slanting left side, breakthrough. 10-5 to the end zone. Aaron Jones on a slant to the left side. And there is your dagger. It's 34-21 for the second week in a row. Aaron Jones delivers.
Yeah. They still play that song. Todd Rundgren lives. They still play it, even though there are no fans.
Yeah, that was not a good ending to the Detroit game.
Now it's just who gets fired first, Patricia or Gase. I mean, Patricia, that team just gave up. The Lions gave up. Yeah. And if you have Galloway on your bench as a fantasy football player, you might as well just do not trade him.
Galladay.
If you have Galladay on your bench because he's been hurt, when Galladay comes in, he's going to have 5,000 yards receiving.
Excellent. Good to hear.
Because there's no one down the field.
You said the first get fired because I know that the players hate Gase. They've spoken out and you've heard of this written. I mean,
in fairness, the players on the Jets probably are just happy they're not waiting tables because none of them are quality NFL players. The kid they drafted, the left tackle, looks like he might be really good.
And other than that, he is a mammoth kid.
Yeah, he might be the biggest player in the NFL.
Man.
But other than that, it's just diarrhea stew. But yes, both teams hate their head coaches. Again, but in all seriousness, I don't know what Jet players really can make a case for wanting to get out and go somewhere else because I don't know where they'd play.
Marcus they're May. Gone.
Marcus May.
Marcus May was terrible yesterday.
No, he was bad, but he is the best of a bad group.
He was. He had the stupid tight end who ate him alive.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, May, they put May on an island against the dumb tight end for the Jordan Reed, and Reed went into
caught
absolutely
two touchdown,
ballistic.
Caught two touchdown passes. I saw
that. So May can go screw. May, so good. What did the homeboy do yesterday?
This is what they, if it makes you feel, this is what
Reed
what it was,
had 7 catches for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns.
This is what it was like before Belichick showed up, about 1990-ish thereabouts. Patriots is so bad, you know, they were so bad no one cared. So that's what it sounds like where you are with the Jets.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you think you're going to get LaMichael Perrine to come in and just run the ball for you, you got another thing coming.
You know what the Jets will be as long as Adam Gase is there?
Always ass.
Jets will be bad for the rest of my life. The Lions are really the fascinating thing. The Lions might not win a playoff game in the history of football. The sun might burn out.
This was their year, too. They were supposed to be good this year.
Super Bowl.
I don't know why they're not good.
Well, throw the Super Bowl part out. They were supposed to be good this year.
Yeah, and they had their first-round pick, the corner they took from Ohio State. They had him lined
Okuda,
up.
Right?
Yep, they had him right there, and he got torched a million times, too.
Stafford's the ultimate what-if alternate reality quarterback. Like, I mean, that dude's just, he's always been a gamer, and he's just got that stink on him, man.
Yep. Yep, they're terrible. That's a terrible organization. Two terrible organizations. Couldn't give me 2 weeks. Couldn't let me have any hope for 2 weeks. By the way, Lions, 2 divisional losses, too, so congratulations to them. Their season's over. No reason to watch football. Just for the job. Can't give me one ounce of satisfaction. Bob Sozzi's got a job watching football. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.